when we changed the SIG. The original Clarks were little fat letters, and then we modernized it, late 60s. I'd go to a lot of seminars and get ideas. You need to get inspiration, and you need to get out of your business some. So I went to one, and then the Hudson Bay Company was the one that they were talking about. That was up in Canada, and Hudson Bay is kind of old as can be. They were losing their business. They were stuffy, stodgy. This company had consulted with them, and they changed it and turned the company around, and they went to the Bay. So Madge and I talked about it. We decided to go to Clark's and do it all lowercase, and that's the way for 10 years the SIGs were. The C-L-A-R-K-E apostrophe S was done in lowercase. I bet we had 100. We had the art department doing Clark's every way you could conceive. Then this one kept coming back to us. So we're going to make the change, and I said to Madge, before we do this, we need to go out and talk to Mom. Mom at that time was in her 90s. She lived to be 97. Neat lady. Oh, great class angel. Marvelous to take care of. Appreciated everything. After Madge passed away, then Jackie and I took care of her. Go to Tulsa and take her to the grocery store. Every Thursday, take her to get her hair done. Richard had been doing her hair for, I guess, 25 years. And he pampered her. So we took this SIG out to show it to Mom. And Madge gave her the spiel of why. Times were changing. Showed her the SIG. She looked at it, and a tear came out of the corner of her eye. Oh, gosh. I'm telling you, talking about feeling bad. Tear came down her cheek. And she said, you're not even going to spell Clark with a capital C. I guess we were there an hour and a half, but she finally came around. Madge was good at that. She had a lot of props and things to show her, but that was one of the toughest job I ever had was taking her car away from her at 90.
Why did you feel you needed to change the SIG, the lettering?
The old SIG was dated. Like I say, it had started in 14, mm-hmm. and it was just not today.
Yeah.
We dropped the good clothes. It's interesting that I've had a number of people that were very smart, Harvard MBAs, things like that, that I knew that were in the advertising business. They say, why are you keeping that good clothes? And I said, well, it's been pretty good to us. But we kind of felt like, okay, it's time. Still, I'll run into people and they'll say, well, I shop Clark's good clothes. Pays your money and takes your choice.
Yeah, well, it didn't hurt your business anyway.
No, but I don't think that
you were identified.
You know, if there was one mistake, it would be the biggest one I saw that M.M. Coin make when they bought the business. About 6 months after they bought it, they changed the name from Clark's to M.M. Coin. And the day they changed the name, the sales started down dramatically. And I had friends say, they insulted us all. When Bill Dillard bought Brown Duncan's, it was Brown Duncan's for 3 or 4 years. Then it was Dillard's Brown Duncan's for 3 or 4 years. And finally, it was Dillard's. He was smart enough to step it step by step, give people a chance to get used to it. He'd modernize the stores.
Communities take ownership.
Oh, hey, no question about it. You ask people, where did you shop? Well, Clark's, Renberg's, those were the two as far as apparel that would pop into their mind. There were lots of others. Streets was another one. There was a bunch of other stores. But yeah, they feel like, and that's what you want. You want them to feel like.
It was their store.
Their store, yeah, absolutely. You run a retail store from the selling floor. You don't run it from an office. It's interesting because Castleman and I, the manager, were so close in Southland. I was standing by him one day and a lady came in with a problem and she went up to him rather than me. She got right up in his face and she said, Mr. Clark, and she was telling him her problem. And I just moved away. I just let him handle it. I thought, well, there's no sense me getting in there. But people do, yeah. They take pride. And I think the fact that we were very involved in the city.
How long then did M.M. Cohen last?
4 years.
And they left because business went down the tube.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you sold the business, would you say you were at the peak, or was it beginning to come down?
We were still growing, but I was tired of working 90 hours a week. Madge's health was poor. I can see that. I didn't see her passing away in 2 years. But it was just time. I had lots of debt, and I could see that I could just get rid of some. M.M. Cohen were very similar. We were about 85% the same lines. Like I say, the biggest mistake they made is change the name. The day they changed the name, and they lost over half the business in 4 years.
Wow. And that had to hurt you because though you weren't in the business, it was theirs. Just emotionally, something that your dad started to see it change and then to see it go away.
Well, if you sell a business, you've got to realize that can happen, and it happens more often than not, probably. I think they should have survived. But
you sold at a good time then. It was good timing.
Well, I sold because it was just a good time for us. But then in 82, the cycle went down in the oil business. Everyone said, how come you were so smart to sell when you did? Well, it wasn't that I was so smart. It was just like it was the time. Life is timing, and we were lucky on that.
When was it you sold? What year?
Closed December of 82. I remember we went down, closed at the BOK. That was our bank, and the happiest day. M.M. Cohen assumed all the debt and took over the business.
Was that a tough day for you?
Yes and no. You're working up to it. So you knew it was coming. Like I say, not near as tough as the 2 years that followed.
Because you had to be in the store.
Yeah, I had come to work like everyone else, and they'd give me whatever jobs they wanted to give me. And
they were hoping the public seeing your face in the store would help.
No, the jobs they gave me, I wasn't where the public could see me usually.
Well, then why would you stay on? Why did they have you on?
Well, they paid me. You have a contract. You have a contract to fulfill, and I fulfilled that contract. I had my pride. I was going to be to the end and perform. Every job they gave me was performed in an exceptionally fine way. You know, if they asked me to speak, I blew any other people away with what I did. You know, that's the way we work. Yeah, there's only one way to do something, and that's right up top.